From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Cancel, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. We've got a great show for you today. We do have a great show for you today. Writer-director Judd Apatow will be joining us later to play Not My Job, so that's exciting. But first, a little bit of a beef. Ever since we first went on the air 11 years ago, we have been trying to get Bill Clinton to come pay us a visit, be on the show. He's never come on. Clearly, we've gone about it the wrong way. So, this is what we did. We've taken some hostages. Not to worry. They actually won the right to be our hostages by making a dollar a day pledge to their local station. We're treating them well right now. They're hanging out in Carl's trailer listening to his highlight reels. Nonetheless, we will not consider releasing them until Bill Clinton comes and asks nicely. We will also accept Robert Pattinson because he's dreamy. So while we wait for that call, we'll take yours. Give us a call, the number 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Don Carey.
Where are you calling from, Don?
Norwich, Vermont.
Norwich, Vermont. Oh. Famed home of the Norwich Military Academy?
Many hundreds of years ago. It's since moved, but we still have old buildings.
Really? How do you move a military academy?
Secretly at night.
Wow. They just get the cadets outside, stand around the building on four, pick it up, and you... Dawn, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a humorist and the author of the complete audio program, The Free Fall of Webster Cummings, Mr. Tom Beaudet.
Hello, Dawn.
Hello.
Next, say hello to one of the women behind the Washington Post's reliable source column is Roxanne Roberts.
Hey, Dawn.
Hello.
And lastly, a comedian whose CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's also performing at the Marion Cultural and Civic Center in Marion, Illinois, on September 3rd. Ms. Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Dawn.
Hello.
So, Dawn, welcome to our show. We're going to do something crazy this week, something nutty. We're going to start with Who's Carl this time. Carl Cancel will recreate three quotations from the week's news. Your job, of course, explain or identify two of them out of three. Do that. You'll win our prize. Ready to go?
Absolutely.
Here we go. Listen to this headline from the always classy New York Post on Wednesday.
Bill can still get the women.
So where did Bill Clinton, the big dog, go to pick up some women this time?
That would be North Korea.
Exactly right. Very good. Like the Terminator, notorious ladies' man Bill Clinton has been reprogrammed to use his powers for good. The Wackaloons, who run North Korea, let it be known that the only way they would release two young female journalists would be if Bill Clinton himself came and asked nicely. Foreign policy experts already knew that Kim Jong-il was desperate to attract Bill Clinton's attention. In recent official photos, he was seen to be wearing a beret.
That's below the belt.
Seriously, people were wondering, why do they want Bill Clinton? Well, the real reason was, and we have this on good authority, was that Bill had told Hillary, oh, look, I'm going to be in North Korea this weekend for a secret mission, and then realized far too late that she is now in a position to check that. So.
Do you feel like maybe he's going around the house going, ner, 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 ner.
He's saying this, honey, I'm sure there'll be another hostage crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Less volatile situation that you can resolve as Secretary of State.
Oh, yeah.
I just had to get this one because this was a tough one. But you'll get the next one, really. All right, Don, here is your next quote.
We knew people would respond, but boy, did they really respond.
That was a White House economist. He was surprised how many people drove in to take advantage of what program?
Would this be the Cash for Clunkers?
Cash for Clunkers, yes. The program, heavily promoted by auto dealers, it sucked up the $1 billion put aside for it in a matter of days. Turns out all you need to finally motivate people to get rid of their old gas-guzzling 78 Lincoln Town Cars is you give them $4,500 cash. That'll do it. Who knew? This led to, of course, criticism of the Obama administration, because what kind of incompetent fools create a government program that people like too much? Our American tradition, of course, is government programs that people hate, like LBJ's famous Cash for Kidneys program.
You know, I thought we always did have a Cash for Clunkers program. They were called teenagers and college kids.
You could sell them, you mean?
Yeah. I mean, my first car, I think I paid $100 for, which even in 1974 was not a lot of money. And it was a 1955 Pontiac Star Chief. It was huge. It wasn't a very good car, but it was a huge car.
And that's what was important.
Yeah, four people could comfortably pass out in this car. And what I learned from that car was a lot about myself, which has served me well, not to mention mechanics. And where are the young people today going to learn these important life lessons if the government's buying up all the clunkers? For example, how are you going to learn the value of having matching tires if you don't drive your clunker once in your life?
It's true.
How to put out a car fire.
Now, what's interesting...
Right. How to push a car.
Exactly.
That's the other thing. Yeah. A lot of kids don't know how to push.
What's interesting, though, is the Obama administration has found out that, you know, there are other programs people are wondering what the effect will be, but if you give cash directly to the people, they really respond positively. So they have a new initiative to combat obesity. It's called Cash for Chunkers. You trade in fat people for $4,500, you know. Hey, Uncle Stu, put down the Hot Pocket. Let's go for a drive. All right. Here, Don, is your last quote, and I'm so proud to say it was seen on Twitter.
With sadness in my heart, I've decided not to return to Idol. I'll miss nurturing all the new talent, but most of all being a part of a show that I helped from day one become an international phenomenon.
That was somebody known for being a little unpredictable, tweeting her latest sudden move. Who was it?
Paula Abdul?
Yes. This is the woman, Paula Abdul, who this week was called by a competing network head, quote, an exceptional piece of talent, unquote. She's announced she's leaving American Idol. It's a pity. She's always lent a certain random, possibly crazy, or just mad with lust air to the otherwise stead talent competition. She announced via Twitter, of course, that she's going to head to greener pastures to search for much younger men. Sorry, is it too soon? But the question is...
What, is there a period of mourning?
I guess so. But the real question that all American Idol fans are asking is, who are you going to replace her? Who's going to bring that same kind of faded 80s pop star glamour plus completely addled ditziness?
Hell, I'll go.
You know, you can do it? I was thinking you get Cyndi Lauper and just give her two fistfuls of Percocet, and that's pretty much a working substitute. Carl, how did Dawn do in our quiz?
Dawn did very well, Peter. Three correct answers. Dawn, you win our prize.
Well done.
Thank you.
Congratulations.